The Lord Jesus Christ is the second person of the Holy Trinity. He is God coming down from heaven. He doesn't need anybody's help. He can save the souls of all humanity all by himself. And yet, he called together 12 men to help him. Many years ago, been many years now, because my niece Caitlin now is in second year of college. But when she was little, my sister Hong, her mother, was making something in the kitchen. And at the corner of the kitchen was a toy stove for my little niece. And she was there pretending to be cooking. And my sister would give her vegetables and, you know, different things for her to cook. And she was making a big mess in the corner of the kitchen. But my sister, now and then, as she was doing the cooking, would look at her daughter, Caitlin, and say, "Oh, Caitlin, you are such a big help. You are helping mommy cook." But of course, we all know Caitlin, one, was not cooking, and two, she was not helping. She was making a mess. And I came to understand what Jesus is doing. Jesus doesn't need our help. God doesn't need our help. But because we are in relationship, God wants to share with us his work of saving souls. We end up making messes out of it, but he loves us. God is not going to save us without us. God is going to do his part in saving us, and we are going to do our part in participating in the work. Also, look at the 12 men that he picked. They were nobody. If you add them all up, the amount of education, I don't know if they would be equivalent to high school diploma today. None of them was well educated. They were poor people. They were unknown people. The two of the 12 that were known somewhat would be St. Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector. He was known because he was helping the Romans taxing his own people. He was hated. The other of the 12 that may be known somewhat would be Simon of Canaan, or otherwise known as Simon the Zealot. Well, he belonged to a political party that was out to sabotage the work of the Roman officials and sabotage the work of Jews who were helping the Romans. And they are known to assassinate. They were known to kill. And Simon of Canaan was a member of this party. So in the party of 12 that Jesus picked, those two men were enemies. The rest of them, unknown, we know at least four of them were fishermen, and they were not even good fishermen, because every time we hear of them fishing in the Gospels, they caught no fish. I mean, the Lord Jesus had to perform miracles to bring fish to them. So, Jesus did not need help, and yet he picked 12 nobody to help him. My brothers and sisters, you and I are his helpers today, supposed to be. We are the baptized. We are the followers of Jesus. We are his modern disciples. And God doesn't need our help to save souls, but he shares the work of salvation with us because we are in relationship, because he loves us. And yet, as we look out into the world today, less and less people are believing in God. More and more people are rejecting the teachings of Jesus. More and more people are claiming to be agnostics or atheists. Who is lacking here? It should be obvious to us that God is not lacking. God will always do His part in saving souls. Then it must be His partners. You and I are lacking off. You and I are not doing our parts in the work of salvation. We tend to say to ourselves, "Well, I don't know theology. I don't know the Bible well enough. I am too old." Oh, by the way, Moses, in the reading today, when you hear God tells him to go up to the mountain and says to him, "From now on, you're going to be the go-between for me and my people." And you know how old Moses was at that time? He was in his 80s. So in the next month, the next couple of months in the summer, usually, parishes will put out in a bulletin, you know, "Would you be interested to be a lector? Would you be interested to help with Holy Communion? Would you be interested to sing in the choirs? Would you be interested to teach a lesson to the confirmation students? Would you be interested in being a group leader for discussions for the confirmation students or for the RCIA program? Would you do something for the parish? Please say yes." Because we got to do our part. Unless you are 90 years and older, Moses was in his 80s, we have no excuse. Unless until now, we have not realized that we are partners with the Lord Jesus Christ in the work of salvation. And today in the United States, we celebrate our fathers who have gone before us. We ask God today to give their souls rest. For the fathers who are here with us, we offer this Mass for them, and we've got to pray for them, not today, but every day of their lives. Why? Because the devil attacks fathers. Why? Because in the mind of the devil, the father is the head, the spiritual head of his family. Now, whether or not the fathers do this, it does not matter. The devil, in his mind, every father is the spiritual leader of the family, and so to attack the family, he attacks the fathers. And so we must pray for our fathers, that God may protect them and that God may give them the help they need. I know that all the fathers in this church want to be good fathers. No. You want to be great fathers, the kind of fathers that God wants you to be. Pope John Paul II, who is now Saint John Paul II, shared that the great influence that his father had on him throughout his life, you know, becoming a priest, becoming a bishop, becoming a pope, and obviously becoming a saint. He tells the story of how when his mother died, his brother, older brother, also died. The only people left were the two of them, his father and himself. So he went to college and they would live in a little apartment together. Little. There's a bed on this wall. There's another bed on the other wall, a little space in between. And he tells of how at night he often wakes up and he would see in the dark of the night the shadow of his father on his knees, deep in prayers, with his arms outstretched for hours. And John Paul II said, that left an imprint in him as a young adult. Fathers, if you want to be great fathers, if you want to be the kind of fathers that God wants you to be, and I know you do, get on your knees and pray. And let your children see that you pray. Inspire them with your prayer life. My birth father died when I was 9 years old in the Vietnam War. My stepmother then remarried to my stepfather when I was 11 years old. So my stepfather was a Buddhist, raising me from the time I was 11 years old. When I heard the voice of God calling me to be a priest, I asked for my stepfather and stepmother's permission. They were both Buddhists. And my stepfather would say to me, "I don't understand what it means for you to go and give your life like this and becoming a priest. I don't get it. But what I do know is that a priest serves God. So you become a priest and be a good priest." And every time I go home to visit my father, when he was alive, he would tell me two things. He would say, "Aren't we blessed to live in the United States of America?" We'll save that for July 4th. I'll tell you that story. But the second thing he'll tell me is, "Be a good priest." He doesn't know what it means, but he tells me, "Be a good priest." My brothers and sisters, my fathers, you don't have to preach long sermons. You don't have to give long lectures to your children. Just give them a little direction toward God. You want to be a doctor? Be a good doctor for God. You want to be a lawyer? Be a good lawyer for God. Do you want to be a mailman? Be a good mailman to honor God. Do you want to be a truck driver? Be a good truck driver and honor God. Give him some kind of direction toward God. The commandment of God says, honor your father and your mother. It does not say, honor your father and your mother if they are good father and good mother. The commandment does not say, honor your father and mother if they support you in everything you do. The commandment of God doesn't say, honor your father and mother if they pay for your college education. The commandment of God does not say, honor your father and your mother if they make a perfect family for you growing up. The commandment says, honor your father and mother, period. And so, my brothers and sisters, today, as we celebrate Father's Day, whatever our fathers have done or have not done, whether our fathers have been great fathers or just good fathers or mediocre fathers or even bad fathers, God will judge them. But on our part, we must honor them, because that's what the commandment says.